Alan, Megan, please join me and let me just briefly introduce you. Alan and Megan have been our link missionaries. We were in Barrow-on-Soar, they were our link missionaries. We were in Hoddesdon, they were our link missionaries. We came here and we still haven't got away from them. Are you the only missionaries working for the Baptist Missionary Society?
Almost.
No.
Yeah, almost. No. No. But we've certainly journeyed together through some tough times. You've been through some tough times, but through great joys that you shared with us over the years. And it's been a delight to work with you. You've always been willing to come to be with us in person, and that means a lot to us. I do feel like we're partners in the gospel with you. And that's important to us. So a warm welcome to you. You're going to update us now, and then we're going to spend some time praying for you. So
you.
Come, tell us some more.
Sure. Thank you. Just me for the first bit. You'll hear from Megan a little later. But yeah, Chris has already said we've been following him around the country. But also here... the church in Burwell has supported us for the 25 years that we've been with BMS. So we really do appreciate all your support over all those years and for your love and your prayers. So we're going to do a little bit, I'm going to give a little bit of an update on what we've been doing since the last time we were here, which is only just over a year ago, just to share a few things. But I'm now going to tell you a little bit of a story that's happened since we were here last time. So Megan is an occupational therapist, and she works mainly with people with disabilities. I'm seconded by BMS to a small Nepali Christian NGO, non-government organisation, that has three hospitals, some community development work, and my work is mainly sitting in the office, writing proposals, designing projects to apply for funding so that we can continue our work. So it's quite different, the things that we do, but just occasionally things combine. And so I'm going to tell you a bit about how that happened more recently. So in 2023, November 2023, there was an earthquake, a fairly localized earthquake. It didn't have a huge impact. I don't think it even made the international news. It affected two districts of Nepal, and a district in Nepal is similar to a county here in the UK. One of the districts that it affected is an area where one of our hospitals is based. So we were immediately, when I say we, I mean our organisation, we were in Kathmandu, so we didn't hands-on do this thing. But that's the type of devastation it caused. The houses are built mainly of mud and bricks. So once the earth started shaking, houses came down. Not too many. There were sadly some people died and more injured, but not huge numbers, which we're grateful for. But many, many houses were destroyed. It was back in November 23. Immediately, because our organisation has a hospital in the area and we had disaster stocks, we were able to go out and start distributing food, blankets, temporary shelter, sort of like tarpaulins and things that so people could have some protection at night times. Because even if the houses hadn't collapsed, many of them were so badly damaged that they were uninhabitable. And then the choice was, what do we do next? So my job was to kind of coordinate all the funding. We have lots of partners all around the world, BMS included, that said, we've heard about the earthquake. How can we help? We've got so many, maybe a few thousand pounds or so many thousand euros or dollars or whatever it might have been. So I was coordinating this. And we had to sit down and work out, once the initial... disaster relief is done, what do we do next? And there's two things we could have done. Provide a little bit more substantial but still temporary shelter. So like some corrugated iron sheets for people to build a little bit better shelter. And then wait for the government to come in and start rebuilding the houses. But we knew that was going to take a long time. So we decided instead, as an organisation, that we would go straight in We chose one of the villages where we'd already been working, where, and that is that picture there, where every single house had been destroyed or made uninhabitable. And we decided that we would help them rebuild their houses. Rather than providing temporary shelter for a lot more people, we decided to concentrate our efforts on that. And so immediately we started, when I say immediately, it took a few months to get all the permissions and coordinates, and I helped to write the proposal that then went back out to our partners to say, this is what we're going to do, is that okay? And everyone was fine with that. We didn't have enough money to be able to completely rebuild everything, so all the villagers had to contribute their labour and some finances, but we were able to provide all the materials and then provide masons to then show the villagers how to build earthquake-resistant houses. And over a period of time, we began to build these. So we weren't just rebuilding like for like, because that would be silly. We were building earthquake-resistant houses. This is the type of shelter people had to live in for months and months while their properties were being rebuilt, and everyone in the village was helping and contributing to the rebuilding. And then finally, that's the rebuilt village. All the houses are quite small, mostly just got two rooms, but that's generally the sort of place that they were living in before.
Did they have to build a big BMS purpose?
No, there was a lot, I don't know, there must have just been a job lot of that sort of colour paint locally. And they're all the same colour, actually, when you go to that village, they're all the same colour.
The colour of one of the phone networks, and the phone network have painted whole villages that colour as well.
But they didn't contribute to this. So then last November, the one just gone, so that's a year after the earthquake had happened, a representative from BMS came to visit us in Nepal, and he wanted to go and see what the BMS money had contributed to. So we went out to Rookham. Now, Rookham is where this has all taken place, and it is very remote. You have to have an hour's flight from Kathmandu to one airport, and then it takes another 5 or 6 hours to go on pretty much mostly bad roads to get to Rookham. And then when you're in Rookham, to get to that village was another hour's journey, and that was proper off-road. We were bouncing around in a four-wheel drive vehicle all day. So it's a very remote place. But anyway, we got there, and that was fine. And we had a community meeting. Oops, that's the... just to show, yeah. We had a community meeting on the roof of one of the houses that was still under construction at this stage. You can see it's very high. Some snow peak mountains in the very far distance. Can you see that? And so we had this community meeting. We met with the people, had a chat, how they were happy or about the way that their village had been rebuilt. And the guy from BMS, through us interpreting, was able to ask them some questions as well. And then we moved on to a school where our organisation, with some of the spare money, had rebuilt the water system, because one of the schools had all their water supply had been knocked out. And that green construction there is the hand-washing station for the kids. In the background, the yellow building and the pink building were temporary toilets and a classroom that had been rebuilt by the UN, the UNDP. But us as an organisation had helped to rebuild the water system. In the background, on the sort of right-hand side as you're looking at it, you can possibly see there's a landslide there. Can you see that? This area, is one of these a laser?
Chris?
Yeah. So this area here is a landslide that had happened fairly recently, just before we went there. When the earth shakes in an earthquake, even if things are not damaged immediately, the earth is a lot looser. And then, after that had after the earthquake, the monsoons came, and with the loosened earth and the heavy rains, that side of the hill had come right down and had stopped just before. We had to kind of climb over the earth to get into the school. But it hadn't damaged the school further. I mean, the school had been damaged with the earthquake. But so as well as being able to rebuild the water system, having seen that damage, the guy that was with us from our organisation decided we could also help to strengthen the landslide part as well. So we had quite a bit of input into this school as well. So we were sitting outside in what was kind of the playground in a circle going round. There was a few teachers and we were introducing ourselves and just sharing why we were there and what we were doing. And Megan introduced herself and she said she's an occupational therapist. She works with people with disabilities. I went round, I'm with this organisation, and we all went round and introduced ourselves. As we were leaving, the school caretaker came up beside Megan, quite quietly, quite shy, and said, "My daughter's is disabled. Could you come and see her, please?" And we thought, well, depends on the time and all that. But as it happened, the driver said, no, we'll go right past his house. So, okay, we said, yeah, sure, we can stop off and Megan can have a look at this. We assumed it was a little girl, but actually it was a young lady. How old is she? 22-year-old. And she'd been given a wheelchair, but it was totally inappropriate. She couldn't sit straight. She'd got cerebral palsy, hasn't she? Yeah, cerebral palsy. So she couldn't communicate verbally, but she could communicate some bits with her hands, couldn't she? But the wheelchair was totally inappropriate. But Megan had come along on that trip to then stay on in Rookham, in the hospital which our organisation runs, to then take part in what we call a wheelchair distribution camp, which is giving proper, suitable wheelchairs for people with disabilities. Engineers come in as well as therapists, and they design the wheelchairs or rebuild the wheelchairs or adapt them according specifically to the person. And then they train the people how to use them. They train the family how to manoeuvre the wheelchairs as well. Megan's done a few of these now. And it just so happened that there was going to be one of these wheelchair distribution camps the very week after we'd met this young lady. So we invited her and her family to come to the wheelchair distribution camp. Me and the guy from BMS left to go back to Kathmandu, but Megan stayed on in Rookham, and the family came along with lots of other people who were needing decent wheelchairs. And the young lady's called Mungala, and this is her in her much more appropriate wheelchair with a table so she could sit up, and proper support for her back and everything. And as you can see, a nice big smile on her face as well. This is her house or her home. Her parents, every time she needed the bathroom, had to carry her to the toilet because it was completely unsuitable for her to get to, and she couldn't manage on her own. But the toilet itself wasn't accessible with a wheelchair either. So with a little bit more of the spare money, because the toilet had also, their house had also had suffered some damage from the earthquake, so we were able to rebuild the toilet and make it accessible for Mungala in her wheelchair as well. So that kind of shows how our work sometimes, not very often, but sometimes overlaps, and the way that God can use even the simplest of introductions, the way that God had given us the money to be able to rebuild that, help rebuild the water system in that school, that then led on to us visiting because the partner, the BMS money, had supported that. The guy from BMS came along and we went to visit the school, and the caretaker then asked Megan. And it's sometimes when we look back on these things, we think, oh yeah, God was leading us all the way through these things. It's a bit convoluted sometimes, but we can see God's hand at work in these events. So that's that. You asked what you could pray for us for, so I've got a few points here. The church that we go to, which I showed you earlier, has a bit of a bad relationship with it. It's not that we've done anything particularly, but the neighbours don't like the church in the area. They complain it's too noisy. But we think it's possibly also because the neighbours don't like all these people with disabilities turning up in their neighbourhood, all these supposed cursed people turning up in their neighbourhood. We don't know for sure. So there's a kind of a mending of relationships needed between the church. They claim it's too noisy. But in that very right next door to the church, there's a football pitch, and one of these indoor five-a-side football pitches, and a school. So noise isn't, you know, an issue usually with all these other things, but just for a couple of hours on a Saturday morning, they complain about the noise. We're also saving up for a new building because that is only a temporary building and it's a very cramped. It gets packed every Saturday already.
And it's rented
property. This is only our second church visit. We've got lots and lots of other ones to do. In the next 3 weeks, we're going up the west coast, up to Scotland, and then coming back down through the Midlands. And then after that, we're doing lots of sort of like hit and runs to different churches. So just for stamina for us as we travel around, it gets quite wearing living out of the back of the car all the time, staying in people's houses, which is all lovely. Everyone's so welcoming and kind, but it's just a bit tiring for us. And the older we get, the more tiring it gets. The projects that our organisation, it's called HDCS, is running, we've just started a new one in that very same area, Rookham, and that is again a project for people with disabilities. Megan will have some input into that, and that means she'll be travelling out to Rookham on quite a regular basis, so that's a lot of long journeys and lots of travelling for her. And then we are 3 years off from retirement, so we have to begin to think about how we can hand on the work that we're doing in Nepal. Megan's already working with a number of occupational therapists, a number of whom are Christians, which is great. But just the way we are kind of leaving well and how we do that over the next few years. So pray for that as well. Thank you for listening. Sorry if I bored you too much. If you're interested in anything generally about what BMS does, I've only been talking about what we do, there's lots of leaflets and things on the table out the back here, so please feel free to help yourself to them, because we don't want to be carrying them around the country all with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alan, and we've thought a lot through some of the scriptures we've looked at about how God gets people in just the right place at the right time. Thank you for that story, because that fits in perfectly with that sense of there was an individual that perhaps the world would overlook, but God took you on a 1 hour's flight, 5 hour drive and a whole day up and met the right person at the right time to meet their need. Is God good? Wow. So thank you, that's fitted in with where the Lord's been with us. If we can leave those prayer points up, I'd invite you to lead us in prayer, and there may be times of silence, that's fine, we're relaxed about that. We do occasionally all pray out all together, but today we're going to just listen for one another's prayers. If there is a time of silence, be relaxed, but do those who would like to lead us in spoken prayer, and we can say our amens to that. So lead us in prayer. So, Lord, have your way in me. We're just going to pray before Trevor brings our reading for this morning, and then Megan will be speaking to us. So, Lord, we thank you for this time to prepare our hearts, to invite you to have your way in us. We pray now for the reading of your word as it goes out to us and over the internet to the world. Lord, may it bear fruit. And we pray for Megan as she shares her heart with us. Would you pour out your spirit upon her, and through her may we hear your words. May we receive them and live them out. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
This morning's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 11. If you do use a church Bible, it's on page 1153. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines.
Okay, I'm only little. Yeah, what Alan forgot to mention is we're very glad that we moved from Sirkep to Kathmandu in terms of the fact we don't have to sit cross-legged in church anymore for the one and a half hour sermon. So I hope you're all comfortable. what do I do with this? Hopefully something's going to come up. So today we're talking about being gifted for God's service, and I want to look at that passage. Before we look at the passage, I just want to step back and have a little think about who are we, what makes us the people we are, and why? Why would God give us gifts? So first of all, just thinking that who we are. And I just think these two verses just sum it up beautifully together, if you want to look them up. But it just says together that we are all made in God's image and we are all wonderfully made. I love that. We are made in God's image and we are all wonderfully made. All of us, everyone sitting here, whatever you might think about your physical body and the limitations it sometimes puts on us, we are wonderfully made, and we are God's image. And one of the things that we were learning about recently is that that's why we don't need idols, because we are God's image. We don't need physical images. We are God's image on earth. And that, like when we were reading about that, that was like, wow, yeah, okay. So each of us is like the replacement, an image of God on earth. And each of us should be bringing a little bit of heaven on earth because we are God's image on earth. And therefore, that should change the way we behave to each other, the way we think about ourselves, but also how we think about each other within and outside the church, that we are all made in God's image. No one is more important than any other. Now, I like Chris. He's a great guy, and he's the minister of the church. And, you know, there's temptation to put him, you know, he's the big man. You know, we're missionaries and people think that makes us something special. We don't. Or the leaders of the church, you know, they must be specially gifted by God because they're the leaders of the church. But actually no one is more important than anyone else in God's eyes. And sometimes I've heard, you know, preaching about boasting and pride and all of that, but I think the opposite is more difficult. The fact that sometimes we belittle ourselves. And when we say that we're unworthy, we're actually saying God doesn't know what he's doing. And we're actually saying that we're not gifted by God. Because we are. We are all gifted by God. And that's what that passage was saying. You know, and no one is unworthy in God's sight. Well, everyone is. No one is less worthy in God's sight because we're all unworthy. But no one is more worthy, no one is less worthy. We are on an equal plane in God's eyes. When we were thinking about the earthquake, or when the team at HDCS, it wasn't like, well, who's the most worthy to get a good house? It's like, where can we do the best work that we can do? that those people will get a house and those other people will learn how to build houses for other people by making that model village. And the other passage, just in terms of what makes us the people we are. In Hebrews, it talks about people have given up the habit of meeting for worship. Well, you're all here, so we don't need to talk about that. Well done. But what it more says is that we are to encourage one another. And I think sometimes we forget that we're supposed to send. It was great, that prayer. You know, we are all missionaries and we are all going out into the mission field, whether it be going all the way to Nepal or going to the local shops. It's a mission field everywhere. The harvest is ready. Are we ready to work? But in order to do that, that verse talks about we respect one another. We respect each other in our relationships enough to want to encourage one another. And I know we've said this before. You know, I think actually teachers and people working in the NHS need more prayer for their work than we do, because that is such a difficult mission field. When I worked in the NHS, I was told it was a sackable offence to pray for a patient. What kind of mission field is that? I mean, I prayed for patients. But, you know, with their permission. But if they'd reported me, I literally could have been sacked for praying with a patient. It's a huge mission field. And it's the same in schools, you know, assemblies and talking about your faith in schools. It's a mission field. But we should know. We should respect each other. We should have relationships such that we know what each other does during the week, where each other goes, what are the difficulties in their mission field, otherwise known as a workplace. So we should always be seeking to bring out the best in each other. And in order to do that, we had this passage that talks about the fact that each one of us has been given gifts for the common good. Now, there's a whole block there that I want to not look at, because we can focus on that to the point where we think people with all these special, special things are the ones gifted by God. And actually, yes, they are big gifts, and they talk about very spiritual things, miraculous powers and gifts of healing, but they're not the only gifts. And again, we can say, oh, you know, well, I can't do that. I'm not, you know, going to do those special, amazing things. But it says that to each one, the Spirit gives gifts for the common good. And we're all gifted by God. And we all have something to contribute. And we all should be encouraging each other to know what those gifts are and to contribute them to the body of Christ. Because reading on in the passage, didn't want to read a whole thing, it talks about humility and honour in the unity and diversity of the body. That's the title of that passage, the next 20 verses in most Bibles. It's called Unity and Diversity in the Body. We need each other. We need each other. It talks about the fact that each part needs the other. No one part is more important than another. All belong. And again, I think, you know, often we, oh, you know, it's not about the pride of aren't I special. I think the church is more of a problem in the church is that we think of ourselves as not special enough. We are wonderfully made in God's image. And therefore, we should be bringing what God has given us to the body. No one part can say to another, I don't need you. It says that in the Bible. No one part can say to another, I don't need you. Now, I don't think any of you would say that to someone's face. But I think sometimes in the way we behave, we say it. Sometimes we say it in the mirror. God doesn't need you. You don't, you know, you're not really, you know, you're not really important. And God doesn't really, you know, want to use you. But it says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. and the parts we think less honourable should be treated with special honour. The parts that are unpresentable should be treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But we all are the body together. God has put this body together and gives greater honour to the parts that lacked it. Now, I'm an occupational therapist, and Alan's already mentioned that people with disabilities in Nepal are seen as less than human and unworthy of anything. But I don't believe that, and that's why I do the job I do. But I believe that's my calling. God called me to be an occupational therapist. God gave me the gift to be able to do my job. That's my gift from God. That's my ministry for God. And again, don't over-spiritualize. There are, in those other verses, actually, there are things like he gives us the gift of service. The Bible mentions the gift of administration. You know, they're not all super spiritual gifts, but you have a gift or more. You know, all people have gifts. One of the things that when we're doing the Wheels for the World distribution, I'm usually the person, not so far, always, the person that does the training of the volunteers beforehand. And one of the things that I'm speaking about is that people with disabilities should be honoured. But actually, we all should be honoured. And one of the things that I teach is that often, this is how we see the word disability. This, what you can't do. And I often have people, you know, they'll come to me with, say, a child with cerebral palsy. Oh, she can't go to the toilet. She can't read. She can't. You know, and I say, stop. Tell me what she can do. Because I want to see this. We need to focus on what we can do. And I think this is a message for all of us. It's not just about people with disabilities. I think we can all focus on what we can't do very easily. You know, I mean, there are examples in the Bible. Jeremiah was too young. Moses had some kind of stammer or something. Paul prayed for something to be taken away from him. You know, he didn't use it as an excuse, but, you know, he was looking at his weakness, and God said, that's not relevant. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And when we're supposed to look at what God's given us. God has given all of us gifts. And one of the things that I've been teaching as well is that's in churches in Nepal, people can't get into church. And I notice obviously here in England, there are a lot of laws about accessibility. There has to be ramps. There has to be disabled-friendly toilets. But it's not just about physical accessibility. Actually, we all have gifts, and I would like to see more people with disabilities at the front leading in churches. Our pastor is in a wheelchair. One of our worship leaders is in a wheelchair. Another one is a young girl who's only got one leg. Beautiful dancer. I don't know how she balances on that one leg. But she can dance on one leg, and she gets up and down in the middle of the dance. I mean, don't try this at home, I'd say. But we all have gifts, everybody. Disabled people with disabilities have gifts. That lady you saw dancing in that video, she's had a stroke. She's not let it stop her worshipping God. She's up there. If you did notice, at times her hand was like this when she was dancing, and she sort of forced it up a bit. There is nothing that stops you worshipping God. And worshipping God is what you do every day. If you read the Bible carefully, worship isn't about singing songs. That's part of it. We sing praise to God. But worship should be everything we do. In that song, everything, every moment is God's. And it can be not so good for God, or it can be honouring God and worshipping God in everything we do, in every hour of our lives. So just to summarise, we are all made in God's image, all of us. And we all have gifts that we should be using. But we need to keep our eyes and ears open. Sometimes it can be a passing comment. you know, that caretaker came and just said, if you couldn't just stop at our house and have a look, because, you know, it's getting difficult to take our daughter to the toilet. And I could have said, well, I'm a bit busy, bring her next week, you know. But because I went and saw, not only did she get a suitable wheelchair, but she's now got a suitable toilet. I could have missed that God-given opportunity by just deciding I was too busy at that moment, you know, our vehicle needed to get back to the hospital or whatever. We can give very justifiable reasons for not doing things, but we need to listen because we have gifts and God wants to use us. And God wants us to be encouraging one another to use those gifts, because it also says in there, if one part hurts, the rest hurts. And if we're not using the gifts God's given us, we are broken in some way, because we're not contributing to the body as God asks us to contribute. And we should all be contributing. And if we're not, then the body should hurt. And maybe if we contribute more together, then God can be seen to be more alive in this nation of ours. So I just want us to think about 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. And I want us all to say the next bit. We are the body of Christ and I am an essential part of it. Say it again. We are the body of Christ and I am an essential part of it. So please don't think that God can't use you. Actually, God's sad when you don't let him use you. And God wants those abilities to be the big part of who we are. Bless you all. And if you want to know more about BMS and work at BMS and us, there's stuff out there on the table and we'll be around afterwards. Thank you.